The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent the Indian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. Boy, they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, Watch them only passion for a season. Cutlass, I gon' weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas. And again, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogey, or Daddy Scrooge, or Daddy Scoochie. So many nicknames. It's just a pleasure to be your host tonight on Guardian Radio. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And also you can look us up on Cable Bahamas at 969 and tune into the shows, the regular shows on Guardian Radio. And also, if you want up-to-date information on what's going on in the country, please get the Guardian app and read the Guardian newspaper. These last few months, Guardian has changed their stance. They're talking more about crime. They're giving more information in the newspaper. It's very, very entertaining now to see that they are competing with the Tribune when it comes to information, you know. It's very good, like today. In the Tribune, you have your on the outcome with the pharmaceuticals and the government of the Bahamas. And in the Tribune, they have a done deal. And then you look at Nassau Guardian, it's a win, you know. So it's great. And it's also very educational. So I like to encourage persons out there to please read the newspaper a lot. Look at what's going on in the country. You know, I've been doing that for many years. That's why I could come with you and talk about many of the topics. I'm your host, like I said, Valentino Braun, host of the talk show Inside Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every 6:30 to 8 p.m. And again, it's my pleasure. And to all the listeners, man, it's remarkable how many people listen to Inside Inner City. Oh, man, from the high society people to people in the inner city community who themselves are high society people themselves, you know, once we create a better opportunity for them, we have a balanced society. And I want to thank everyone who just greets me and tells me that I'm doing a fantastic job. And also to the callers who call on the show on a regular basis these past few weeks and over the years, you guys do a tremendously excellent job on how we dialogue on the show, because we talk about some touchy subjects, you know, but we talk about it in a way where we could have a conversation without rattling people's skins. Even though we're upset, you know, even though we feel we're being taken advantage of, you know, we still find a way on how we have our conversation on Inside Industry. And that's something that I wanted to bring to this show. I wanted to show people that a person like myself who have been through so much, you know, and had a family structure home, you know, I was a drug dealer. I was a gang leader, a gang leader. And then, you know, I changed my life around, you know, after many trials and tribulation. You know, I've been like in Iraq, but I was very, at the same time, I was very strategic, you know, and I was very, very, you know, I was very, very smart and educated. You know, I wasn't stupid. That's why I'm still living today. And I turned my life around to become a community activist, you know, because I saw the destruction that we were doing as youngsters. And that gave me a learning lesson. And I examined what we went through. And I was able to say, hey, you know, if I get myself out there and I be committed, not for money, not for fame, not for fortune, but to go out there and put your voice, because of the circumstances that I was in and many others were in the country, you know, thousands were going through the same circumstances that I was going through, and able to use that energy to be able to have a dialogue with opposition's leaders, with commissioner of police, with the richest set of people, the most powerful set of people in this country. I was able to sit down with them, but I never took that attitude that I had on the street where I was a rough and tough guy, you know? I know if I wanted to be able to help and make changes in the legislation that's passing in parliament with various different government, I have to balance myself and be able to negotiate, not just negotiate with people on the streets, negotiate with people who, if you sit down with them and you have a discussion with them and you make sense, they would write it down and they would do the party council. And if it makes sense, it goes to either the candidates or the opposition leader. And then in turn, he put it as a part of the party portfolio going into a general election. So I'm saying all this is because that's what I've been doing over the course of the year. I've been working with a lot of opposition leaders, which became government. But in there, I was able to make some things happen for the Bahamian people. You understand? So when the caller called last week and he made reference to the ad I was reading on the for Mr. Michael Pintard, who was the opposition leader of the Free National Movement. And he said, you know, don't get myself involved. And he's quite right. But I've learned something over the years. I've learned that he is the opposition leader. He may not be successful in becoming the prime minister, or he may be successful in becoming the prime minister in his term, right? But if you was able to have a conversation with him, why is the opposition something that is important to the country? Whether it's for political gain, whether it's for him trying to become the next prime minister to come to the Bahamas, I've learned to work with persons and get the idea that's inside me or inside a group of people to manifest into that particular person. You understand what I'm saying? If he was to be successful on coming to the prime minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, and he started an initiative like this program, Reach One. Stop the Violence, Each One, you know, Reach One. And then if he was to start a program like this right now, and it was to be successful, and he pushed this, this could change the direction of the opposition into a program like this that is going to be beneficial to the Bahamian people in the future. So I've learned to be a negotiator. I'm not a part of the PLP. I'm not a part of the Free National Movement. In fact, I already said this. My biggest sponsors that are assisting me now is Brent Simonet and his wife, Robin Simonet, helping me to develop the inner city community that I reside in the Lewis and Hayes Street area. On a slow pace, I'm regaining traction. And never once, Mr. Simonet, over the years, have ever told me to say this on the radio for the Free National Movement. No, he saw me as a person who meant well for my country, someone he told me personally he admired, and that he wanted to help me any way possible on the ideas and the development of my community. And that is based upon my work ethic that established over the years, talking on radio and talking on TV. And many people are fascinated with it, and they want to help. They want to help with the poverty. They want to help with the crime situation. They want to help with the housing. They just want to find someone who is dedicated, who is committed, and who is doing it for the many right reasons. So I just wanted to say that over the course of my career, I work with opposition I worked with Prime Minister Sir Lyndon Penlin, the late great Sir Lyndon Penlin, and then when he became opposition leader, I worked with him. When Perry Christie became opposition leader, I worked with him also and gave him ideas. And that's how we came up with the idea of the urban renewal. You know, and there's many more ideas I've given to different parties over the course of my career that has been passed in legislation, whether it's the Free National Movement or the Progressive Liberal Party. So what the caller was saying is correct, but I'm not that type. I'm a person who know what I'm worth, and I know if I negotiate properly, some things could happen. Okay, we're going to take this call quick, and then I'm going to get to... And today's show is going to be about the progress report on the now government. Okay? Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside In City.
Good afternoon to you, Jay.
Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, I take my hat off to you, man, because, you know, from where you come from and where you are and with the contribution that you make, place, man, I appreciate that from a person of your elk. I mean, you're basically like a light in darkness that illuminates to show a way that we can head to alleviate this crime, and I'm talking about mayhem that is going on in this country.
Yes, sir.
But I'm a Scroogey.
Go ahead, sir.
You know, this week we had the murder of a German gentleman.
Yes, I was going to get to that later on. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, and I think they caught the persons, right? Or they had two persons in custody, right? And we have been talking about illegal migration and persons who have granted passports, who are here, who the government don't know who these people are.
Yes, sir.
They don't know who these people are.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And I mean, like, after all these years, we are in a disposition. We are in a bad place. We have a lot of people here, especially males. We don't know. Who they are.
Yes, you're correct.
Which gang they from.
Yes, sir.
Which army they been in.
Yes, sir.
Which police force they been in.
Yes, sir.
What am I kidnapping they done.
Yes, sir.
Which and murders, whatever they did.
Yes, sir, and fleeing to the Bahamas.
And they're roaming freely amongst us.
Yes, sir.
If so be it, those individuals from down south, what is our government going to do? Is our government going to treat them the way how they treat two other Europeans when they give them persona non grata just for speaking and acting, and just when one guy, because he came to turn him off, he had a tizzy, and it's probably racial anyhow.
Yes.
You know, but we gotta get serious in this country.
Yeah, we have to protect the bombers.
We do not have no military like America,
yes,
like England, okay? But when I was growing up, my mother's always say, look, yeah, you ain't no company. Don't keep no company, especially bad company. All right? And it's like, we as a citizenry, we even had a choice to pick what kind of company we got to keep.
Yes.
Even for my kids in the school, last administration, remember Jeff Lloyd Cole? You know, you don't have to be an old citizen. You have children?
Yes.
Anybody could come and bring these children in. Once they're children, you ain't even got to bring your identification or nothing. You see, that's a part of that there?
It's a part
that's
of
poison.
Yes, it's destroying the country.
You don't ever do that in the country. Not because you may get the authority to govern.
Yeah, and Carlo, not yes, cutting sir. You, because you know I like for you guys to express yourself. Some of these people who know a national honor, they don't know who our prime
they don't
minister
know
is. They don't know nothing. So how are you allowing them to come in the educational system?
Language.
And
you know, I mean, I remember from a child, we were a tourist nation. We've been a tourist destination from my mom myself.
Yes, sir.
And I've been a part of it too, all right? But this is where we are at today.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know what? We've been lulled into, you know, when the tourists, when the people come from foreign, we must smile and we must be this and be nice. But, you know, everyone comes here and be nice to everybody, even the illegal and everybody. We are just nice people. And our politicians are nicer than the populace, because if you could see fit, if I've ever been any crime, and you think I'd be giving anybody who ain't the human passport because I friend you or maybe in the lodge or because we may be cousins?
Yeah,
huh? You don't do that.
Yeah, and we see the corruptions in the government.
Family will be family no matter what.
Yes, you're right.
Okay?
Even if they're behemoths, they're still going to help their family regardless.
No matter where around the world, we got family, every nationality as well as family all around the world.
You're correct, sir.
Right? Yes, so why is it that we got to be lulled into this kind of belief that,
you're right.
I beg your pardon?
No, I was saying, no, I'm saying you're right. You're right.
We, you know, see the thing about, you know, anytime it comes to our biggest problem, illegal migration, and you know, people talk about xenophobic, they talk about any basically, have you not to speak about it while we being inundated.
And you're knocking on the problems that we're facing right now. You said some very, very important information you just said just now.
You know? And I mean, even, but you know, another thing, Scrooge, I noticed too, right? Because I ain't calling a talk show, my, it's called a lot one time ago.
Yeah.
But I say, you know what, I mean, I just listen as be listening, aching when I listen, you know why? Because, you know what, I see even like it seems as if when certain things happen in this country, right, and when they don't want to talk about it, well, they put a red herring. Mm-hmm. You know, they come from the political side, they come from the, I mean, I'm talking from politics, they come from church, anywhere. But you know what, our problem is we don't be focused.
Yes, sir, you're correct.
You know, our focal point should be this crime thing,
mm-hmm.
and our focal point, immigration, illegal migration is crime.
Yes, it is.
People try to separate and say, well, you know, well, you know, illegal migration ain't crime. It is crime.
Yes.
Right? Human trafficking is crime.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
And it's big money,
because
too.
I can't see myself no time in my life. I don't care no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be making a journey to someplace else, and then when I reach there, I have an attitude with the people who come on, man.
Yes. I understand.
That isn't right.
No, it's not right. When you're finished, I'm going to respond to you. Go ahead.
You know, and the next thing, the disposition by where we're at, is because persons who we elect the governor have a little background and some other nationality. They rather focus on the other nationality and be different who put them inside his office.
All right.
And that's our problem, you know. And they go right back and elect these people in. But even if the same study in there, they'd be behind the scenes. Because, let me tell you something.
Yeah, I know. I know you're talking, but I don't want to really
get on
with
it. Let me tell you something. Last time when they voted, right?
Yeah.
Not just the last election for last one minute here then, right?
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, the Perry Christie and thing. I mean, I see for what it is in this country. I'm a behemoth. All right? And if you're wrong, you're wrong. You're right, you're right. Right?
Yes, sir.
But you know what? I go on board FNM, right? And I never dream that Dion Folks would come back on the scene. He didn't go on nothing. Carl Bettle. I said, boy. Want to hear something? This plot is a cabal. These people serious?
Yes, sir. Well,
they come with these smiling thing and oh, yeah, talking like us and everything. I think like, when they get in, they poison us.
Yes, sir. Well, I just want to say, you know, you made some very interesting points, and I'm sure all the listening audience really appreciated. You made some good points, and I'm going to respond to it. Hold on, caller, and I'd just like to say to the caller, you did a wonderful job of expressing yourself. Now I'm going to knock on some. We're talking about illegal migration. We're talking people who live in Haiti right now because Port-au-Prince right now is controlled. 70% of Port-au-Prince is controlled now by different factions of gangs in the city. They are blocking the roads, barricading the roads. It's stopping the fuel transport of food and goods and gas. So it's like chaos right now in Port-au-Prince. Now, Haiti is large, but we're talking about the capital with a vast amount of people. It's estimated that over 80,000 to 150,000 or more Haitians nationals now fleeing Haiti because of the violence now in Port-au-Prince. Many of these people also are in gangs and drug lords, and some are criminals, and some aren't criminals, some are just violent people, leaving this place because they can't stay in the country because of the violence. People are getting burned with tires, getting chopped up, getting shot left and right, and they're fighting for control. There's complete chaos. So when there's complete chaos, people are leaving, and their travels leaving, you have people with that type of background, and they're going to come here on sloops. They're going to land in places like Abaco, and they're going to go undetected because our authorities are not doing the mandatory surveillance and patrols, stationary patrols, you know, because we know that they are coming here illegally. We know that they're going to Abaco and Andres and some of these family islands. We're supposed to be able to station immigration officers, defense force officers. We're supposed to on base, meaning they're not going back to Nassau. We're going to rotate them. We're going to put about 100 to 150 to 200 defense force officers on that family island. We're going to put about 50 police. We're going to put in makeshift tents or build a police station or a place where we get build for the defense force officers and the police where they're going to be stationed there. What we're going to ask the residents who live in Abaco to travel with identification. If you're not moving through with identification, there'll be reason to be pulled over. If your identification has not checked out, you will be detained. You know, the Bahamian people are crying in Abaco because there's in flux, so we have to put law and order. So, like I said, the defense force, I was listening to the Commodore, he was estimated that the Bahamas is vast and that they're going to need over $100 million, and they need new recruits to be able to man the whole Bahamas. So they're asking the government of the Bahamas for $100+ million, and also for new recruitment. You know, there's things that we can do to assist. But like I said, listen to me good. If we are serious in this country right now on illegal migration, right, for those who have been here over the years, who are Bahamians now, we regulate them. Those who are not regulated, we can either give them residency. But you have to be able to know our national alum. You have to become a Bahamian. And if you catch you violating the Bahamian laws as to bring using your funds to bring illegal immigrants in to forfeit your citizenship as a Bahamian, quite frankly. And those who come here illegally, we have the judges on the island. We fast track them real quick, get their names, their identification, fingerprint, photos. We find ways on how we're going to transport them back to where they truly belong, because they're going to integrate in our system, soldiers and persons with bad intent, and they're going to go undetected, right? And as they get you, they are going to believe they're entitled to be here. And when they get catched from authorities, they've been here 15 years, their friends and family have gotten them documents, illegal documents, from either justice of the peace, who are using their justice of the peace position to break the law by giving falsified documents. And then we have this law where once a baby is born here, that we can't deny them health care. And once they get in the health care system legally, they can be not denied health care and education. Then we put them in the education system, okay? And they're bringing their characteristics. I love people. And this is not about no Haitian people. This is about the illegal people coming on the sloops. Okay, what is here? We're going to have to deal with that. But the set coming here now is a burden to all of us living in Nassau, New Providence. Too much money is living in the country. Too much people is coming here to put too much pressure on us. Behemoth, yes, with the PLP and FNM. So, yes, put defense force officers in Abaco. Station police officers in Abaco. Every individual in Abaco, we're not going to break the constitutional right, but we're going to be asking for identification. Okay, any new houses, because there's an injunction in Abaco, the government can't demolish, nor persons supposed to be building. So it goes two ways. Any new building should be pushed down, and persons should be put before the court because there's an injunction. And that's my say on that. We're going to take this last call, and then I'm going to get to the progress of the government. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the City.
So, Scrooge, let me ask you something. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right, listen, let's say we naturalize our brothers and sisters who are Bahamian now, but their two parents are from Haitian descent.
Mm.
And let's say now they're in the armed forces.
Mm.
And how do they carry their duty protecting the interests of the Bahamas if they feel like they're victimizing against the nationality of their descent?
Well,
how do we deal with that?
Well, first of all, you have to make sure that there's officers in place that make sure that the officers watch one another's back.
No, but you got to understand, mommy and daddy is from
I understand what you're saying.
So how do you protect the interests of the Bahamas, knowing that you say, wait a minute now, me and my buddy who is of Haitian descent, and we in charge of the key, and we have a sloop that came in. Should we turn these people in? Or what do we do?
That's why you have supervisors. That's what I'm explaining now. You have supervisors, independent supervisors, even though you're in charge and you're a sergeant, but you have independent supervisors. His job is to monitor, because we can't allow for people of that position to go out there, and we're saying we give them a behemoth, like you said, but they're using it as a smoke screen. And if we put them out there, ask the boss without anyone watching them, then, like you said, some people will do that. I'm going to let my people go. You know, I'm going to let them go. So we have a problem, and they would be breaking the law. But we have
think in all of this,
you're right.
We really need a comprehensive
and think about it approach to it.
Immigration approach.
I understand what you're saying.
To our national security. I mean, like you said, if in the U.S. they make you learn certain things.
That's what I'm saying.
And you hold to it.
Yes.
If you can't do that, they make you write a test.
Yes.
Before you become a citizen. I mean, even a literal test.
Yes,
if
that's what I said.
You have to try again.
Yeah, you remember if you was listening earlier when I said that the kids don't know about the national anthem and et cetera about the bombers or who was the governor general, et cetera. So that's what I'm talking about right now. The prime example you give.
I think the ones immigration should implement, the ones who are coming here to work,
yes,
should do an online English with revenue for
yes,
that.
Yes.
So the ones who are coming here to work, even you got to be able to speak some English.
Yes, sir.
I can't tell you to plant the corn or do what you need to do if you don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
You got to pass at least an English test. That could be done by them. Administrated by the millenniums.
Yes.
Teaching them before they get here and that money.
You're correct, sir. You make good sense.
Anyway, cool, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. And that's why I love the callers who call. They have their opinion, but, you know, what they're saying actually makes sense. You know, he is saying now, just say we give someone a nationality as Bahamian, but they come from a background, their mother and father was a Haitian national, but they have a Bahamian passport. They're on the boat, and they're out to sea, and they pull the sloop over, and instead of them turning in the sloop, they allow the sloop to go through. You know, a prime example is when the drug era, and if we could remember, we saw where a Bahamian Defense Force officer was smuggling drugs for a now imprisoned big-time drug dealer. And we know his name is Lemuel. I can remember his name closely because I was around about 20, 21, 22, Lemuel Gibson, and he was in charge of the Defense Force boat. And he was smuggling. I think I'm correct, but the name, if I pronounce someone's name out there, that's been Lemuel Gibson out there. So I want to apologize for anyone out there, but if I think that was the right name I could remember, and then he was the Defense Force officer, and what he used to do is that he used to allow the drugs, and he brought it in, because I heard the case on the ZNS News and et cetera. So he was a Defense Force officer supposed to be protecting the bombers, but at the same time, he was breaking the law for self-gain. And that's what that gentleman was talking about just now. So we have to put things in place. And I talked about that if you break the Bahamian law, then your citizenship should be taken out. I'm a true-born Bahamian. You're still on probation, you know? You're still on probation. I'm not on no probation, you know, because I'm a full-born Bahamian. So I'm not going to be on probation. I can't be exported out of my country. But if you have a Bahamian citizenship of the nationality, we have to keep that there. Even if we do it in secret, because like they say, your police record could be clean. But the police still know you are in many criminal cases before the court. Now, that's private, but the police know that. But on your police record, say your police record is clean, but you done lose a few cases, but they clean your police record. You know, they expunge it. But in the police headquarters, if something was to go on and you did something just recently and they're looking for you, they'd put, well, this guy was charged with this and this guy was charged with that, but it wouldn't show up in your police record. But when you break the law, you would see they'd come on the news and say, well, this guy was charged with this when he was 22, 23. So, yes, the call is completely correct. We need to put things in place. Simple as that. You guys did a wonderful job. Now I'm going on to the progress report. The opposition leader, Michael Pintard. I've learned to be a negotiator because you never know what tomorrow holds. But the caller also stated last week that, you know, anything you do with political leaders, you know, is bound to fail. That's for those who go there, go to the political leader looking for favor. The only favor I'm looking for, if he could put this idea forward that is beneficial to the Bahamian people. Okay, because I am a person who, for some strange reason, I was always gifted with ideas. Anything I put my hand on, people, listen to me. There's not a project I put my hand on and has failed or I have quit. Ask anybody. Anything that I put my hand on or program has always been successful. I'm just gifted with that. You know, And going back to the opposition leader, Michael Pintat, he's a great gentleman. I think that right now, currently, that as it stands, we need the opposition. As it stands also, the Rest of the Liberal Party, party right now is doing a wonderful, wonderful job. I'm seeing it firsthand. I'm seeing it with the, under the Ministry of Environment and the Ministry of Works, Honorable Vaughan Miller, and the Office of the Prime Minister. They have hired numerous persons with trucks to roam around the inner city community where there's bulk waste. People now are taking out their garbage and putting it in front of the yard, and the trucks would pull up and also remove the garbage. You know, it's a lot more to do, but this is a progressive program. I think it's very, very good. You know, we need to clean up the Bahamas. Also, they have been going around stamping the cars, and they will be removed soon. They're putting the stamps 14 days from the Ministry of Environment or the Ministry of Public Health, and soon we'll have a lot of cars off the streets. BPL is giving out a lot of private contracts, and government's giving a lot of private contracts to go to the inner city corners and around us in New Providence where the lights are not working, probably the bulbs is out or power's being knocked out. So BPL and the private companies now are going around turning on the lights, and as you can see in the country, a lot of lighting on. Also, the Ministry of, Ministry of Roadworks, they are also going around now working in partnership, in the government partnershiping with, partnership with Bahamas Scriping. You know, I like to read it. It was in the Nassau Guardian information section on my phone because they give me the latest information. And they're partnering, the government of the Bahamas is partnering with Bahamas Scriping, and they'll be fixing potholes in the Family Islands and Nassau New Providence. So if you live in these particular areas and you need a tree to be trimmed, there's a pothole in your community, or there's a yard that is filthy and has a lot of garbage, you need to call the Ministry of Public Health, you need to call the Ministry of Environment, you need to call your local MP. They will assist you. So it's up to you. You know, it's up to you to just grab the phone or get some information about what is going on in your community. If there's an old car next to your yard, you can call them. If there's a car in the back of the yard that you don't have the funds to remove it, call the Ministry of Health, call your local MP. Sometimes government is be helping, but maybe so frustrated we don't care to even check to see what is going on with government and to see how you could benefit. Well, this is free. This is the Bahamian people's taxpayers. This is the government giving back. So if you live in these inner city community of Mason, Fox Hill, Bainton, Camp Road, and etc., this is a prime time for you to take this opportunity to clean up your community. To call BPL, call your minister, and tell them the lights are off. You know, a lot of guys be hanging on there. We need some light. People be walking through the corner. There's no lights. There could be a park that you're on in a gated community or in a community that the light is not properly working. Use this opportunity to report it, and they're moving fast. If you have a pothole in your community, you need to call your local representative. You need to call Roadworks, and they'd come and assist you. And if there's an abandoned house that is close to your restaurant, and that's why I also like to talk about these kind of stuff. If there's an abandoned house in your community that is full of trash and is a hazard to your community, come up with a comprehensive solution for that property. If it's been 40 or 50 years and the family has a problem, or it's just there, it's a problem to you and the community. Make it your business to make a difference in your country and go start the cleaning up, okay? Because you could remove the cars, you can remove the garbage, you know? And then you never know. You never know how things work out. Maybe they want to come and ask you to to buy it all, might give it to you. You never know. But if you are a Bahamian and you live in this community, you know, clean up your community. Look at these abandoned houses and recommend them, you know, even though it ain't your own. Recommend it, you know, you're living next door or you're living down the street and you see this abandoned house and, you know, you see the little girls hanging, the little boys hanging there smoking marijuana and stuff. Just write it down and just say, you know what, what is the number for Ministry of Health or the Ministry of Environment? And just ask, I like to talk about this abandoned house that has been to the corner for the last 40 days. I think I know the owners. Let's write them a letter. But right in the meantime, whilst we're writing the letter, let's clean it up and make it something useful. And the government saying now that they are buying and abandoned houses in these communities to turn it to make either into community centers that is worthwhile to the community. By people who have great ideas or suggestions, the government is willing to do that. So you can make recommendation to the MP. And then the MP would make recommendation to the Minister of Responsible about probably purchasing that house. And then you never know. Like I said, there's so much potentials that can happen out of this. So the government is doing a lot. So for Michael Pintado's opposition, I think that if the current government right now is to keep up this momentum that they're doing now when it comes to inner-city development and national development, because they invested vastly. I've been listening to Chester Cooper, $1.4 billion invested in his constituency and the family island. You also have here, let me see here, $250 million hotel plan to be Phoenix for Grand Bahama. There's major investment happening in Grand Bahama. You know, there's major investment happening here, also in Nassau, New Providence. So we're seeing billions of dollars being invested into development. And I like the idea of Chester Cooper, our deputy prime minister, who I feel is doing a tremendous job. I like his attitude. I like his humbleness. You know, I like his work ethic. You know, he's not looking for power. He is just working for the Bahamian people, working for his constituency, and he's also working for the Bahamas on the whole. And that's the kind of personality I like. You know, him and Brave are similar. You know, they're quiet, they're not outspoken, and they are getting things in order. Because I watch and observe, when the Speaker of the House was getting out of her way, you know, she was kind of rude and rowdy. And then the general public, us, all of us spoke on it. You know, we talk about what this attitude could lead to. And then there must be a discussion with her. And now you listen to her as the Speaker, though she is humble, you know. And I want to congratulate the Speaker of the House and the Speaker of the Senate, who are both females. So I don't want no female in this country, all right, talking about equality. You women have more opportunities right now than men. We just had Lady Finlan as the Governor General. What more you ladies want, okay? You ladies are doing great things in the country. Again, I want to congratulate the Speaker of the House, female Speaker of the House, and female Speaker of the Senate, you know. So there's a lot of great stuff that the government is doing, but investments. I'm really intrigued by Chester Cooper when he talked about the investment in his constituency and in the family island with the $1.7 billion and $500 for investment. And what he is stating too is that, I always stated this, that go out and get investors. But at the same time you get investors, negotiate for the people. So you negotiate for the people, they're building the hotel. At the same time, they're upgrading the houses in the community for A, B, and B. He's suggesting that the residents who reside in proximity of this new development, this multi-billion dollar investment, to upgrade them also so they could be a part of the economy, you know, so that they could also achieve riches by earning it. But they're earning it because someone has come up with a plan to make investment and then speak on how we're going to upgrade their houses. So he's telling people, we're going to give some of this money to upgrade poison's houses and upgrade the community. And that's going to give so many people opportunities, because some people go in the sporting industry, jet ski, snorkeling, tall guy, somebody go A, B, and B who could use the funds that would be sponsored by the company. And this is the kind of stuff I like. So the opposition leader, Michael Pinta, tough time to become the next prime minister of the country. Anything can happen, but at the current pace, with Mr. Brave Davis and Chester Cooper leading, and then Juan Miller, who's doing an extremely great job in the environment department, and many other MPs are doing a great job, even the social service minister, the wonderful lady, I can't remember her name right on hand right now because, you know, I'm talking, so I can't remember all the names, but I could just say the department. She is doing a wonderful job, and many others are doing a wonderful job, you know. So it's going to be tough for Michael Pintard. And the only way, he probably, and he's a good man, but we as the Bahamian people, you know, we are looking for leaders who are going to be passionate, caring about us, and giving us the best opportunity. And right now, I can say this, I'm not speaking for me. I'm speaking for those who I talk to in the circle, and I'm also speaking a little part of me, because when I called a call and he talked about, last week, and he talked about, you know, Michael Pintard is wanting to be the next prime minister. Me, Valentino O'Brien, I judge the person by their works, their attitude, and their personality. Last week, I talked about a Lincoln Bean. Lincoln Bean is doing an extreme, in my opinion. I feel his tone of voice when it comes to authority, when he does his movement. Just for instance, he went to Carmichael Road, and then he had altercation with the Defense Force officer. The Defense Force officer represent the commandant of the Defense Force. And then we had the situation by the courts, you know, when they're going to give their bill to the MPs, which they did. And all these things are good things. But then he stood up again and defying law and order. Even a guy like me, you know, don't do all kind of crazy stuff, right? I know when to step away. I had many fights with the police, but it's a situation where the police was the aggressor. I would get myself involved with. But for me to say, see a police officer telling me to move, you know, I would move, right? And even though he is fighting for the Bahamian people, he could do it a little better on his personality, on the way how he approached, because he's always approaching authority for us. And you look at the country, you know, we have to move away from that. We have to be more diplomatic. Look at Chester Cooper. See, that's what I like about him. I watch people's personality. Look at Chester Cooper and his personality. You know, you could see he know the job he has is a very important one. He look at what happened to all those other governments. And he is saying to himself, and him and Brave are saying to himself, let's try not to make the same mistakes those guys made. And that's why I talk about the Speaker of the House when she was kind of like, she's so better than everyone else. Then you notice after she got called in to the table, the round table, and they talked to her, her tone of voice is different. And if you want to ever lead this country, if you want to ever lead this country in this Bahamas, serve a second term, you better have respect for the Bahamian people on your tone of voice and how you talk to us, how you investing for us, and how you taking care of us. Else, you're 4.5 and done. That's the way it is. But as it stands now, it would take the PLP right now to make all kind of mistakes, and it's early for them to lose the general election. Most people are talking about this. Oh, yeah. Okay? And to me, when I call a talk, I feel, this is my opinion, I feel that right now, with the leadership of Brave Davis, right, if he keep this humble approach and if he keep trying to fight for the Bahamian people and do some good and have his ministers and all these departments working for the Bahamian people, showing respect to the Bahamian people, the rest of the body could serve a 15-year term. They could serve a 2-year term under Brave Davis and Chester Cooper, because he's going to wait. And if he is next in line to be the next leader of the Progressive Party, the PLP is in good hands, because I can see the qualities in people. You know, I see the qualities in a lot of people. I see the qualities, listen to me, for me, when me and Mr. Simonet, I met about 15 years ago, he talked, maybe just had a casual talk and didn't know what to talk about. And this for you guys out there who are on the streets and who in the sector. Be respectful. And we talk, and I see deep down in his heart, he really want to help the country. And he is not about party politics. Yeah, he might have his party, but when it comes to helping the Bahamian people, this man and his wife, down with that. And that's why I tell you I respect them. Who are being more harder on the FNM than me on this show? And that's one of my biggest support. And he've never, ever called me or tell me, you shouldn't say this and you shouldn't say that. And he never get mad at me. And we're doing little things, little programs. You know, little. You know, he's testing the water and see how he could assist. And we're doing different programs. If you could see, we're beautifying and we're creating something great. Now we get the government who we're partnering with these programs, this cleanup program, which is excellent, with the lighting of the community, you know? So we're working with a good government, with a private program that we started in the inner city. And it catch on. And if you look at the cleanup program, that is something that me and the minister I talked about personally, what he loved to do and make recommendation on. And that's why I really love the way how this government is governance. You know, I really do. If you want to call it and comment, you can call it and comment. But that's how I feel. I feel they could do a 15-year term if they keep this up and have the MPs that the Bahamian people are looking, are hurting, but also appreciate what the current government is doing. Because you know it ain't easy. And let me tell you why it ain't easy. Remember last week, we talked about, let me see if I can remember now. You know, I like talk, so I just kind of forget, because listen, people, I doing so much program, I don't know how I manage, okay? So let me see what I talked about last week. Oh, yeah. Something I talked about last week. Coming right now, excuse me. Whew. That's a lot of brainstorming. And to have to come on the show and talk about this real life stuff is very, very difficult. So, you know, sometimes you just forget, you know? Sometimes you just forget. And, yeah, and let me just talk about something one more time. Yeah, last week, yes, I remember now. Last week on the show, I said that, you know, the prime minister means good, okay, by doing the, what you call it now? Oh, Lord, excuse me, I get it right now. The minimum wage increase, okay? And I think that is the first time we had minimum wage increase from 2015. And by the way, the Bahamas is the highest paid minimum wage in the Caribbean, you know, over every other country, Caribbean minimum wage, you know, and it's still low. And I said that, you know, many people would say, you know, that's only $50, man. That ain't nothing, and everyone complaining, right? Because it's a $50 or $60 increase from 210 to probably 260 or whatever, the $50 increase. And many people will say, well, look at that, ain't nothing, man. You know? Man, they could do more than that. You know, why they know $100 for cable, $100 for light bill, rent and all this, man. So how 260 or 270 could work? I agree with you fully. But we must remember it's not the current government's fault. There's many other governments' fault back 25, 30 years ago who did increase it from then. And I said, you know, people would complain about it. I would complain about it too. I don't think it's nothing much, but I understand. See, I understand the dynamics of leading. You see, looking at the inside out is one thing. You know, you're saying, man, he could do better. You think so? You think he could do better? It takes time to do better. All right, if you think you're grand in there and you could change all these laws, you crazy. You always have opposition. Evil. You always have opposition. It could be the best thing for the country. You still is going to have opposition. Let me give you a prime example. We talked about the minimum wage increase, right? Remember we talked about that? We saw the gas station association speak, you know, and saying they was going to close down the gas station. The government up to compete with these things. The government's trying to get the cheapest gas in the world for the Bemidji people. And they're trying to work with the dealership of the gas company. But the people insisting, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're still looking for agreement. This is almost 9 months ago. But it seems to be working now. And they oppose. Now, with the minimum wage increase, what do you see happen? The grocery stores start complaining. You know, we need to take these stuff off bread bar items. You know, but it was a peaceful demonstration, a peaceful dialogue. And I guess they come to some kind of agreement. The government is coming to a lot of agreement because they feel that if they make a mistake, they made a mistake when they did the pharmaceutical deal when they're dictating to the pharmaceutical companies. Let me see what the pharmaceuticals say. They come to agreement, but before they came to agreement, I said this last week, and that's trying to show you the problems you could face when you want to do good, you know, like bringing on the minimum wage to the Chinese Association or the Greek Association or the Bahamian Business Association, you know, complaining that they shouldn't do this and do that. But it was a peaceful dialogue. So we got to understand how things run in the country. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to just go in there and make changes. Changes take time. Time. Trust me. You see? You see what happened? When we saw the minimum wage increase, we saw where the pharmaceutical, let me see, where the National Guardian, the pharmaceutical association told their organization and those who have, drug stores to close down. They were closed down for a few days. And you saw that. And they're saying that, you know, they want to price it a certain way. And the government said, you know, you all need to follow government protocol, you know, because I guess there's a deal there. I don't know all the details. I just read and I put it together too. I just put it together, you know, so that's why I'd be able to bring it to you. I might not put it together like professionals can understand what I'm saying. And they closed down their door. And many people jump on the government. But all of this was because of the minimum wage increase, you know. Sure, don't believe that. All of that because of the minimum wage increase. All that you see with the gas and the food store chain and the pharmaceuticals. All that because of the increase of the minimum wage. Because, like I say, they have employees, they have products, and it's all about making money. The prime minister of the country and the PLB government is trying to make it a little easier for Bahamian people, as far as I can see. I'm no PLP, I'm no FNM. If the Free National Movement was in power right now and they're doing some good stuff like this, I would have been Rachel talking with them also. Because I could put Ray right where right is. Because I'm seeing the progress that is happening in the country. I'm seeing the contracts given out to guys who are part of the Free National Movement are getting contracts under Juan Miller. He's giving guys who had contracts under the Free National Movement on the streets now are working. And that's leadership, you know, because that's what being a government all about, you know. I think I heard that they're doing 70-30, 70% of the government and 30% to the opposition. And this is some on what the government is doing in contracts, and they should, because they have to be able to give their majority of their people contracts. Because you got your chance. That's just how things run, but it's still a good gesture. The huffs and poisons of the previous administration who had contracts to get a few contracts. You know, 70-30 is not bad to me. you know, because they're still being able to make some things happen. But the programs are for every constituency, the cleanup, the lights, and et cetera. You know? So like I said, you know, Rev Davis could mean this country good, but you have association with Speaker. So let me read it. Let me read it. Now, I tell you I need glasses. I can read good. So they reach agreement. The pharmacist was closed for a few days. Many people, you know what, diabetes and high blood pressure, they couldn't get, and hypertension and et cetera, couldn't get their medication, you know. And the government told you to go to certain government facilities to get your medications. And many people were upset. But understand this, and I'm going to say this. All of this was because of the minimum wage increase, and I'm saying this. And I was the first one to tell you all that. Keep this up. They could go for a second and third term. Two terms for Brave Davis, and one term. And if Chester Cooper do good, it might be four term. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. And that's what people are talking about. As far as I can say, Michael Pintard, he has to keep the fire on the government, because he's still very important. Like I say, things could happen. There could be a breakdown in the PLP party. Some people in the PLP party could start to get beside themselves and they want to be leader. I don't think they're ever going to be leader with Chester Cooper and Brave Davis, because I think they have an understanding between them two. One and two. And two could be one, you know. Two could be one. Chester Cooper would be number one. But he understands leadership. He respects Brave Davis. He's never thinking about talking about the man behind his back or trying to take power or have a conversation with the man behind the cause of turmoil in the party. Unless something like that happen, Michael Pintard has a strong chance of becoming the prime. Other than that, it's going to be tough. So I just like to say to both parties, to the best of the abilities, all MPs up to go perform at the best of their abilities in order for their party to be elected or re-elected. As it stands now, the Honorable Brave Davis of the Commonwealth of Bahamas and the Deputy Prime Minister and the Honorable Juan Miller and many other MPs are doing a fantastic job. And I want to congratulate you guys understanding the mistakes of the previous administration and previous government. And now you guys learn. Have respect for the Bemid people. Continue to help develop and change the lives of the less fortunate. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
But, Smoosh, I get to call you back. Listen, you talk about the contract for the two supporters on two sides. What about the swing voters? It should be 20% for the swing voters.
Yes, I think all that's in it. Sorry. Yes, that's the two. It's
the
anybody.
Swing voters. Like they analyze and say, listen,
yes, sir.
We love your policy.
Yes, sir.
We may not agree with your party.
Yes.
But we may like your policy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. You're quite correct.
And it makes sense. But I was thinking out loud. I was being a little facetious. Or, you know, you were mentioning on some of the things the PRP is doing, right? And boy, they silence a lot of things. The teachers' contract,
yes.
The nurses' contract.
Yes, they know how to negotiate.
Yeah, but you know, but I think I just could be a little facetious now. What if they let Chester run next time and within Chester term agree to become a Republican, but where he was president? That'd be strategic.
That'd be great for us.
So the showdown between Michael and Chester would be. Very
interesting, because they're two prominent
I'm just thinking out loud. That's crazy, right?
Yeah. No, it's
maybe
it makes
some
sense.
Other people call in and think about it.
But it makes sense.
That'll be a new era.
Yes, because Michael Pintard is a good man. And Chester Cooper is a good man. And Chester Cooper has a good man.
But Michael could hold his own too.
Yes.
I like the both of them.
Yeah,
you know
this
what I mean?
Good for us. This is good.
Even me, I'll have to go into the cupboard and see how it goes.
And take
the policies.
Yes, it's like when it was a tie and we had to get Alvin Brennan. And our buddy name, Sir Randall Fox. Fox.
Yeah.
Because it was still made 1818, you know, and they decided who would become the next governor.
No, but I'm excited to see the new era.
Yes.
You know, what these two would bring.
Yes.
But you know, the Brave within Chester term,
yes,
we
sir.
Become a republic and you be the first president.
Mm.
And he can handle that well. No
yeah,
doubt.
He's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. But you know,
Yes, sir.
I know the people condemn me for it, but anyway, let's see what
no,
happens.
No, you make sense, sir. It makes sense, sir. Let me ask you a question. What you think on the performance right now of the current prime minister and the deputy prime minister and the government on the whole?
You know, I see, you know, the deputy prime minister is a worker. The same thing, you know, the prime minister is very compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
He's a, you know, use common sense approach
mm-hmm.
to things, you know what I mean? And I see them, you know, really want to do some good.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that,
you
I
feel
think
that?
Under the last administration,
yeah.
Prime Minister Minister did some good things, you know.
Yeah,
but
he did
I
some good things.
They didn't.
Boy.
They didn't tell. The people who were telling the story didn't really tell a lot of stuff he did to
yes.
get it over there.
You're correct,
you know?
Sir. You're correct. He did some good things too.
And you know, and during that time, I voted for Prime Minister Minister to vote him in
mm-hmm.
to get him in.
Yes, sir.
He gave a speech in Freeport after an accident.
Yes, sir.
And his brother bro was like, "Give me a chance." I literally cry, right?
Yes, sir.
My wife asked if I had some problems. You know what I'm saying? But I saw with him during that time, I see he'll probably be the first real FNM prime minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he can do so much good. And then he was from the Bayntown area.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And to put to work hard, you know?
Yes,
but
sir.
Anyway, having said that, that's my five cents. You know?
Yeah, your five cents was good because at the end of the day, thank you very much. At the end of the day, like the former prime minister, Hubert Alexander Minnis, he did well. There's no prime minister who goes in there and don't do well. He helped people who support his party. He helped people who were not a part of the party. You know, it's just that, you know, overall, you know, with the lockdown, with the COVID-19 restriction, you know, would we get to find out now that they're telling you even 6 feet? They made it up. That is not a scientific solution to a virus. You know, many people talked about the virus, but we was listening to those doctors who were expert and they were not a part of government. And those who were part of government spoke on the fact about viruses and they told them, we don't need to have no masks and do all of this. But Dr. Fauci and certain Bill Gates and certain other people who had issues to change the world means they wanted to take away your democracy, okay? They don't want to take away. Yes, we had a virus problem. But as far as locking down the whole world and put people through a time where we were like, we're back in slavery with Caesar. You know, way the emperor speak and we come outside when they speak. You know, we go to the bathroom when they speak. You know what it is? You can't come outside to catch a fresh air. And if you come on, you know, and all the smartest set of people in the world who were in charge of the government agency and the World Health Organization, simple people calling on the radio were more accurate and on their diagnosis on the virus. And who were saying, you know what, I don't need to take this shot, I could go get some Bush medicine, you know, and et cetera. And they were scrutinized. Now we're hearing people who get the shot with the Pfizer and et cetera. The doctors now, when some people pass away, they're finding blood clot 4 feet, 3 feet inside people. Doctors say they find disease that they've never seen before. That is coming around in the world where they're finding people who take the COVID-19 shot. Now we're getting to find out we don't need masks. Now we're to normal. But the thing is, you see no one got brought up on charges. That was all the plan to take away the democracy. People don't want us to speak like everybody's speaking on the radio. They want to dictate to us, you know? So be careful, you know? And you're fighting against a system what they call the one world government. If you listen to the war in Ukraine and Russia, we fighting for a new world order. You understand? Because there are people out there who wants the world in their image. And they have the power and resources. If it wasn't for poison speaking out, who were in the field also, and normal citizens speaking out, we still would have been in the lockdown. So I really want to compliment Brave Davis again and his administration for giving back us our freedom. You know, so many people were mad with Minnis because of that. I would have been, I'm mad too. I can't go You know what I mean? They can't even go in the park to play ball. Can't walk the streets, you know? And it was crazy, you know? It was crazy. It was crazy. So that's when many people were mad about the former prime minister. But me personally, that's why I was mad at him. I was mad at him because this one thing here, and the lockdown with the COVID, and those two things. We did a project in 2013. I did a partnership with the Office of the Prime Minister. The University of the Bahamas, the IDB Bank, and Dougaligum, Yuli Wogas, Amanda Culston, Rosemary Hanna, and many others. And this is a partnership to see how we can tie in over the hill with Bay Street. And we do a lot of designs and plan. And we did a successful program. We did a book cost 1.7 million. It was presented to the Honorable Prime Minister at that time, the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie, at the National Art Gallery. It became the Urban Design Lab. And you look the book up, and you'll see the plans that are happening in the country today actually came with the Urban Design Lab. It deals with the cruise spot. It deals with the sidewalks coming down, Market Street, Blue Hill Road, and one supposed to come down East Street. It was to tie in Bay Street with Bantan, Grandstand, and Mason Addition to create a revenue area of tourists coming over, green spaces, solar, you know, and et cetera. And Menes got elected. PLP lost the election. Menes came into power, and immediately, effectively, he dismantled the program. He changed the name from the Urban Design Lab to the Over the Initiative. And I know my work. You see, no one can tell me this. And I was the number one partner of the Design Lab for the whole entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas, dealing with housing and et cetera. And he changed it. And then he removed Linda Virgil Rule, who had a great understanding of the program, who was passionate about it. She was transferred to National Insurance. She stayed there about a year and a half. Then she went to Life at Key Foundation. Samantha Rule, she's now in charge of the Small Business Development Access Accelerator. She was there also. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. I'm encouraging person to go and follow up on information on the Accelerator Small Business Program at the Office of the Prime Minister and take a chance and help yourself, okay? And he changed the name and, you know, he put different people in place and then it just died, you know? But I'm doing it in Lewis Street and the country itself is doing it under this administration. So I want to compliment them. Okay, we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City. Caller, you there? We're going to take a break? Okay, please don't go away. Be right back on Guiding Radio.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Bantan, bro. Boy, I from Bantan, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a signed blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, You see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting it. And I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get all mixed up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger beat and bow.
Good night, Bahamas. And again, I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogey, and many other names. I hope you're enjoying the show we have tonight. And I just want you to know, for me, I never boast and brag about the accomplishment that I've dedicated to my country. So when I speak, I could speak with authority, because I know what I've given through the grace of God has given me the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for me to deal with this task that is put on me. It's a burden, but he knew I could handle it. And with the different organization and my contribution over the years, that was only for the influence to better the country, not influence me to get funds or special privilege. You believe I only had two contracts ever in my life. Small contracts ever in my life from the government, because I'm outspoken. An outspoken person, you know, they might like you, but an outspoken person who has no side, he only goes where it's right, and he speaks on what's wrong and cannot be bought. You know, people like us are very, very rare. And I think I inherited that from my grandmother. I think that was another Louise Brown. She passed away. And she, you know, she taught me everything I knew as a young man. She taught me how to fight too, you know. So, yeah. So the government has reached an agreement on the price control issue with the pharmacists. Agreement on the ease to position on grocery margins in the Nassau Guardian, and it says it's a win-win situation. So we're seeing a lot of negotiation going on with different fractions, with the pharmacists, with the petrol dealers, with the grocery chain stores, and etc. And government has been able to negotiate in a reasonable, soft tone of voice. And that's what I'd like to say to my brother Lincoln Bain. My brother, you mean the country well, but the kind of attitude that you are presenting to the Bahamian people, even though some of the things you're doing right, we all agree on what you speak on, but many of us speak on the same issues, is that you have the platform. And why is you have the platform, my brother? Take heed. Humble yourself. Because there are a lot of people out there might want to follow you. But that tone of voice and to authority. So let me ask you a question. You think a person like that who stands authority, every time authority is there, it's always, it don't go smooth. What do you think would happen if that person holds leadership and they already have a position? I think they listen to anybody when they get in power? Or do you believe they always believe they're right? And if you have a problem with them, and I'm not saying no one in particular, I'm saying that attitude, that arrogant attitude, and I think Minister had a little bit of that too. Mr. Christie had a little bit of that too, but Mr. Christie still contributed greatly to the country because he had some wonderful programs, helped thousands, and then he also put a wonderful program in the urban renewal program, which is still effectively helping people. So even though he had his way, but the arrogance, you have to be careful of that. I had that in me, and I know how dangerous it is. Listen to me. I know how dangerous it is when you don't listen to nobody. I cause people lose their lives because I won't listen. I believe this and that. No one can tell me that and this and that. I doing the right thing. Everything I do right. Never doing nothing wrong. You never admit when you're doing something wrong. Watch out for people like that. Watch out, Bahamian people. Now, there might be some sheep clothing out there who are disguising themselves. But you could feel through that. I could feel and see certain people means good. Just like I could tell you, when I sat down, wait a minute, I felt that energy. Right? I felt that energy with Juan Miller. You know? I felt that energy with the MP died. Man, he was a wonderful guy. The short MP, man, that was my boy. Oh man, what a little short MP name when he died, man. He passed away under the Free National Movement. What his name? Charles Maynard. Yes, I love, man, listen, Charles Maynard. Listen, if Charles Maynard was listening today, if Charles Maynard was living today, you would see some changes. Man, that guy was so down to earth, you know? Charles Maynard was so down to earth. That spirit, you know, I feel that. Me, listen to me. I could feel his earnest spirit. You know how much time I could sense guys who come to shoot me? You know how much time I say, I ain't standing in the spot right here. And the minute I move, someone gets you. Or I say, but you see me? I don't trust the nigga. Watch him. At the time, the guy sneak right around the back and try to sneak us in the back. I have a discerning spirit. So I'm just telling you people, be careful of people and their attitude. Because some people say they'd be fine for you. And this is not to no one in particular. I'm talking about the poisons, personality. See, I changed over the years. I had to change and see what I was doing wrong and start to admit I was wrong and my approach was wrong. That's why there's no one a better negotiator than me. That's why everyone loved to do business with me. That's why I got to sit down with a lady, Cheryl Wilson, and help them come up with a strategic 10-point plan that won the election. That's why I got to sit down with, far as I can say, one of the greatest MP that I ever worked with, Charles Markey, and former Minister of National Security, Tommy Twankwess. Now I'm seeing a good relationship in the Minister of Environment, Juan Miller, which we had a very long time ago. And also one other minister, the Minister of National Security, Vane Munro, is doing a fantastic job. Because I tell you, we're working together with Dr. David Allen and Kiva Battle, Cleopatra Christian, etc., to deal with given an ideas and solution to the prison problem and the inner city problem. And we're coming up with strategic plans and look to see some changes
in the country.
You know? So that's what I like to see, you know? The persons like that who want to hold power, you know? You got to understand. See what the fault is in you and then correct it. And then you never know how your life is going to transform. I'm a completely different person, you know? And people just want to meet me. You know how much means people ask me to on a daily basis? Listen to me, Bayman people. Listen to me good. Everyone who's listening. You know how much meeting I done been to alone this year? The Ministry of National Security, to police headquarters, to many different places around the country. You know, I'm all about, because people want to meet me, they want my input, because they know I really mean good for my country. And I'm a person who good to be around. And I'm not looking for no power. People say, why don't go into politics? No. If it presents itself where I've done programs and I know how to develop a community like I'm doing now. See, I'm doing a pilot project in my community. I'm trying to see how we could work together to develop it. And if I accomplish something like that, then I would consider being a representative, because I would know what to do with the crime issue, with persons coming out of prison, how to build a low-cost home, how to keep the parks full year round for the kids, stop activities, deal with the dialect vehicles, how to have green spaces, how to have community centers and et cetera, how to bring employment into the community and et cetera. You know, then I will consider something like that. Until then, it might never happen, but tell then I'm doing a good job here as being an MP, because Rachel is the MP for me. Because I listen to many of the suggestions and ideas that I give Rachel on the show. I read the newspaper the very next week, and I see them happening. So far as I'm concerned, I'm the elected member of parliament for ideas on Guardian Radio, and that's good enough for me. At the same time, I'm doing the ideas along with great persons, you know, and I want to, again, tell the Bayman people, Brent Simonette and Robin Simonette, they help so many people in this country. And right now I'm calling their name. And they probably are upset with me because they are private people. And they don't like for people, they are not people who like for their names to be called, because they do things they want to help. And that is what we need to separate from ourselves. National, and that's what I am. I'm a nationalist. I'm no PLP, I'm no FNM. But I'd support any one of the parties or any one of the opposition leaders. I'd simultaneously and give them ideas on how we could get the country forward, because the ideas one day can end up in a book and then legislation, and then we see it happen. Because there are many. Marijuana possession, second chance, that's Lady Cheryl Wilson and myself. And then Tommy Turnquist came on. And then he had some legislation onto it. He even mentioned my name in the House of Parliament, how he was working with me when he was the Minister of National Security. And Tommy, to me, was one of the most listening MP. Like, he would sit down and actually have a meeting, you show you respect, and he would listen. And if he can do something, he could tell you right then and there. He can't do it, you know? So, yes. And I want to say this to us, my Bayman brothers and sisters. Appreciate the person now who was spared in the country, whether it's the opposition, and whether it's Brave Davis and Chester Cooper. Because, like I said, there's nothing wrong with democracy. It is the individual who holds power that makes democracy transparent, good or bad. Make so much changes that they would go down to islands in the Bahamas as one of the greatest prime ministers in the history of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We have Sir Lyndon Penland at number one. We have Hubert Ingraham at number two. And right now, Brave look like he could slip to number two, but he has, with all these programs and initiative, if he keep this up, he is on pace like Hubert Ingraham, you know, with all those different programs, the road, and et cetera. You know, Hubert Ingraham did about 80 different projects, and he finished them in his five-year period, even before he get elected again. So we must give credit. He opened the airwaves. After Sir Lyndon, Hubert Ingraham did a tremendously great job in this country when it comes to development. You know, I even think he did more development than Sir Lyndon. But I think Sir Lyndon was the first one to develop the country the way it is. And then Ingraham took it to a whole different level. Because all we were hearing about different hotels and roadworks and projects all over the country in that 10-year period. And then the 5-year period under Ingraham. And then we have Mr. Christie at number four. But currently right now, if Brave Davis keep it up, he might could take the second. It's hard to take the second from Ingraham because Ingraham in the country when it comes to development. And I love Ingraham because he is like me. If we say someone our mode, we might can't deliver right then and there, but we will deliver. And what Ingraham say, he delivers. And I always respect that. I didn't like him on his policy and et cetera, especially when he come at the guys on the street when he say shoot first and ask question later. But at the same time, I look at him on TV and I see that when he says something and it's going to be complete, he does that. And it seems to me that Brave has his characteristics, but Brave is more humble, you know, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. And for us as behemoths, appreciate our leaders now. We say the $50 minimum wage increase wasn't enough. Listen to me. If you was the prime minister, you try to go put it $500. And watch how much association, watch how much the pharmaceutical association come at you, watch how the grocery association come at you, watch how the business owners association come at you. Every association would come at you in this country. Even though the prime minister wants to do a good thing. So appreciate it. Like I say, there's nothing wrong with democracy. It's the person who inherited it. Either he's going to be transparent, honest, not too greedy, because everybody in politics is thief. All right? Let me put it to you. Even when I speak with the Prime Minister, Brave Davis, right now, he would get some incentive. But he deserves that. You understand? He deserves that. You know? He deserves it because he's doing such a fantastic job. And when people negotiate with you and you negotiate with them, investors would bless you. And that's the kind of transparency we want. That's not corruption. You know? That's just the way our business is done in the country. You understand? And anyone who comes to power, as long as they keep on helping the Bahamian people raise the minimum wage, dealing with poverty, dealing with crime, dealing with housing, dealing with cleaning the neighborhood, dealing with small, helping people get a small business and enhancing the education system, helping the kids in school, dealing with the immigration issue in the country, we'd be in a good position. Okay? Again, I'll give a shout out to Michael Pendard, the opposition leader of the Free National Movement. His program, Reach One, Teach One. This is a program where he's dealing with because of the violent crime that is happening in our country. He started a program, so if you're interested, be more than happy to get in contact with the opposition leader. Every hand's on deck. Whether he's doing it for political reason or whatever reason, you never know how things could turn out. All right? So I'd like to say to all the callers, I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien. A.K.A. Scoochy Scrooge or Scroogey. Have a wonderful good night and enjoy your weekend. See you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. And to my producer, Carmen Roel, and to the whole Guardian Radio staff and talk show hosts, have a wonderful weekend and see you next week Monday if God spare life. Enjoy, everyone. Good night.
Season. God bless, I go weed them. I represent the ghetto people I from. Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Bro. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.